Welcome back to the Roundtable. I'm Ian Pickus. For anyone who's ever been more comfortable in the press box than on the sidelines, Mitch Sloan is a familiar kid in Rookie Bookie, the new young adult book authored by our guest John Wertheim. An undersized and sometimes overshadowed thinker, Sloan always looks for the angle as he builds a middle school gambling business using ideas familiar from Wertheim's landmark exploration of sports and behavioral economics, Scorecasting. Wertheim is executive editor of Sports Illustrated and one of the nation's top sports journalists. He's been heard on these airwaves as a frequent contributor to NPR, and it's my pleasure to welcome him to the roundtable. Thanks for being with us.
Oh, pleasure. Thanks for having me.
So is Mitch Sloan you as a kid?
I would say an amalgam of myself and my co-conspirator in this project. But I think Mitch Sloan is a lot of kids, which is to say that sports certainly attracts athletes, but it also attracts fans and future media members and future statisticians. It's really become this sort of industrial complex, and I think there are a lot of kids out there that are resigned to the fact they may never play in the NBA, but sports still figure prominently in their lives and their future plans.
Do you think technology today has made that easier?
I think a lot of things have made that easier. I mean, all these trends seem to militate in favor of sports, whether it's technology, whether it's social media, whether it's, you know, candidly online gambling. But I think technology and stats and analytics and fantasy football, I mean, I think that all has really helped the popularity of sports.
And yet, in that time, there's been something of a backlash against the overanalysis and thinking man's game when it comes to sports. Do you think we've now culturally accepted that this is a Moneyball era, an era of scorecasting?
It's funny you mentioned Moneyball, because that's one of these sort of inflection points that's so important. I think, you know, at some level there's something counterintuitive. I mean, sports are instinctive, and sports are all about, you know, emotion and responses and impulse, and then you have these, you know, you have the nerds, you have these guys and their pocket protectors, and they're polluting sports with data, and they're polluting art with science. I think we're coming around, and I think it's funny you mentioned Moneyball, because I do think that was sort of crucial. It's not quite there yet. I think there's still a lot of coaches that get spreadsheets from the guys in the analytics department and promptly deposit them in the garbage can and say, I know what I'm doing here, and I don't need you and your fancy figuring. But I think there's been enough testament to the value of data that we're getting there, and this is starting to be treated like any other industry would.
For listeners who may not be entirely familiar with the kind of analytic edge that's happening in sports lately, give us kind of a sense of what is meant by scorecasting.
Well, scorecasting is just essentially looking at the hidden side of sports. And some of that can be the value, these sort of little nuggets of gold in data. Some of it can be behavioral economics, using the same decision-making analysis that traders would use, or that stores would use, in what, you know, objects to put at the front of their store, and using that in sports. And I think there's a lot. I guess sort of our catchphrase for the book was, we always hear that, you know, sports is this metaphor for life, but really the reverse is true. That life expresses itself in sports, and a lot of the decision making and a lot of the behavioral biases that we have when we decide what to order off a menu or we decide what car to buy, those project themselves in coaches going for it or not going for it on fourth down, or referees blowing the whistle. A lot of sports can be explained by general behavioral psychology and behavioral economics.
So why did you want to bring those ideas to a younger audience?
You know, we wrote Scorecasting, I think both Toby, my co-conspirator, who's an economist at the University of Chicago, I think he and I were both impressed by how young the audience was and how many of the concepts were grasped by, you know, even middle school kids, high school kids. And we have kids of our own and kids who are into sports the way we were. And we said, you know, you write a book about astrophysics and there's only so much sort of dummying down you can do. But a lot of these concepts of behavioral economics are graspable to 10, 11, 12-year-old kids. And I think this was sort of a passion project. I mean, I don't think we did this to sell as many books or to have as much an impact as we did the first time. But I think it was sort of, instead of doing a conventional sequel, why don't we try this and write a kid's book that maybe can impart some of this on a younger set?
I mean, certainly there's always been an audience, like the baseball prospectus crowd and so on, for this kind of information. But overall, have these ideas about the way economics influence sports and so on influenced sports reporting from your vantage point?
I think absolutely. I mean, you just look at the stories today. I mean, look, John Lester signing, or look at the winter meeting trades, or some of the, you know, Steph Curry salary discussion. I think that the notion of value and the notion of sort of analytics is this merger of sports and economics. I think it's added this whole new dimension to being a fan. I mean, I think as people who play fantasy league, they now have a new appreciation for data and finding hidden sides. And it almost is at the point where the people in sports media or the people who cover sports who don't mention this angle, who are only about rushing yards and who plays with heart and these what I think are sort of outdated concepts. I mean, I think it's almost more pronounced when people ignore the analytics than when they venture there.
I want to ask you about some of the stories of the day, because it's increasingly been a hard time to be a sports fan in some ways. People who are huge football fans are having a tough time reconciling, you know, some of the brain injury we've seen coming out of the league and some off the field issues. If you like college sports, you know, you've got a whole other bag of issues there. And I wonder how that kind of influences your work at Sports Illustrated in terms of, you know, putting sports in perspective, proverbially.
You know, as sports has grown into this industry and we know a lot more, covering sports is obviously a lot different than it was a generation ago when it was sort of games and athletes, and then there was the off season, and everybody kind of disappeared. You know, at some level, it's all different issues. I mean, the health and safety issues in the NFL is very different from what I see as these sort of moral failings in college sports. And it's a real balance. I mean, on the one hand, you want to treat this like journalism, and you want to treat this objectively. On the other hand, there are these instincts that people are watching sports more than ever. I mean, it's not as though the audience is dwindling, and one of the reasons they do it is this sense of escapism, and not every NFL story needs to be a discussion of head injuries, and not every story on the bowl champion, you know, the NCAA playoffs or college basketball needs to be about, you know, revenues and the failings of the NCAA. It's a real balance to sort of take the social, but also remember at the end of the day that These are games, and these are at some level meant to be diversion. And also the fact that people love their sports, and we sometimes get caught up in some of these issues that I think are very serious, and I think we need to cover. But at the same time, you know, it's not as though the NFL ratings are falling off a cliff because we know a lot about head injuries, and we have some scandals during the season. I mean, the audience is still there.
Do you yourself still care about outcomes of games and matches?
That's a good question. I mean, I think, I don't know how much of this is just working in the industry and how much of this is, you know, being a middle-aged guy. I'm not a fan the way I used to be. I root for stories, and I root for, you know, narratives, and I root sometimes for deadline stories. But no, I mean, I'm much more interested in this intersection of sports and issues, sports and economics and sports and psychology and sports and the law, than I am whether, you know, the Knicks beat the San Antonio Spurs. Mm-hmm. But I don't know how much of that is just sort of personal where I am in my life and how much of that is, you know, working in the industry.
Let's get back to Mitch Sloan, the protagonist of The Rookie Bookie. He finds a way to make some money off his fellow students' interest in betting the NFL. And, of course, inevitably it does come crashing down at a certain point. At the same time, we're having kind of a national discussion over sports betting, and I wonder what your take is on what seems to be at least an inching toward a more an acceptance of legalized, regulated sports gambling.
I tend to go pretty libertarian on this, and I think there's some really fine and artificial distinctions between gambling and fantasy play. I mean, you can play a daily fantasy game for money. How is that different from actually laying down a bet? And I think that, you know, I think Adam Silver has it right, that you're not dismissive of the corrosive effects here, but I think at the same time you need to be realistic. This is going on anyway. People are doing this. Why not regulate it and do it above board and shine a light instead of having people make these wagerings, losing, you know, candidly losing the revenue and losing the tax dollars, and have them do it either offshore or in Las Vegas. And I think we're moving, I think this is sort of becoming a prohibition type issue, and we're hitting this point where people are realizing that it's better to do this out in the open and regulate it than pretend it doesn't exist.
John Wertheim is the author of The Rookie Bookie, the co-author of The Rookie Bookie, and also an executive editor of Sports Illustrated and a frequent contributor on these airwaves to National Public Radio. Just been a pleasure to have a few minutes with you, and thank you very much for your time.
Anytime. I enjoyed that. Thanks, Ian.
And you're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.